Today's edition of the Daily Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is full spectrum CBD? Full spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than full spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, full spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the day before you're in the doghouse if you're a guy. For forgetting about or not doing enough on Valentine's Day. It's the 13th of February. It's a Thursday. Welcome to it. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. And if you haven't planned something now, you better learn to cook or something like that. Luckily, I can cook, but we're going to lunch because we have two kids. And I looked into dinner, and all the reservations were taken. Now, I didn't look into dinner today. I'm not that lazy. I looked into dinner back on Monday, and it was already too late. So mental note to myself that I'll quickly forget. I got to do this further ahead of time. But it's a double whammy. You guys got to get a pass on this one. Valentine's Day, and it's a Friday. That's a tough sell. Luckily, our schedules allow us to be able to go to lunch as a family, so that is enough to hopefully keep me out of the doghouse. Plus, I already bought the flowers. They've already been delivered. They've already got the kudos for the flower. So I'm way ahead of you. You're on your own, pal. And for ladies, that means you've got 24 hours left before you. I really don't have to do anything. God, we're such suckers. Where's the power in the patriarchy? What's the point of the patriarchy if you can't, I don't know, get something out of this? Buy a gift. Buy your guy a gift. Buy him a movie ticket or a nice beer glass. One of those yard beer glasses. Actually, that's probably a little too long for most people. But a half yard beer glass, when I had those, and I think I probably do somewhere in a box still, those are sweet because the beer goes down so smooth. If you're looking for something to get your man, get him a half-yard beer glass. There you go. You're welcome, ladies. All right, we got a lot of stuff to get to. Lots of news happening in the last 24 hours. Democrats infighting. Democrats going crazy at Donald Trump. Talk of more impeachments. Why? Because why not? And racism galore. But, of course, it's the kind of racism that the left says doesn't exist. So, like, I don't know, math. So they aren't going to pay any attention to it. But we will. We will, because that's how I roll. Yeah, baby. Thank you for spreading the word and telling a friend and sharing and all that good stuff. This show would not exist without you, as I always say, because it's true. I guess I can, you know, I'm going to take a risk. What the hell? I confirmed it today. So tomorrow for the interview on Friday, I am going, this guy has two books out, and I'm jealous I didn't write either one of them. It's Professor Wilfred Riley. His new book is Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. And his first book, just last year, was Hate Crime Hoax. So we're going to be talking to him in studio tomorrow. That will be on the program on Friday. I've interviewed him before. I've interviewed him on the radio. Really cool seeming dude. Never met him before. But the first time I meet him will be the first time you meet him. At least to meet him in person. So look forward to that. I know I am. And also the interviews mean that Friday's coming. So I'm always down with that. Because Quinn's got a play date. Quinn's got a big weekend ahead of her. She doesn't know it yet. She kind of does. But she's got a big play date with my buddy Brian Darling's kid. He's 3, she's 2, and they're going to sit around and be mad that they're playing with the PJ Masks that they want, or the, now she's gotten into these dogs. God, my wife has started to buy, I made the mistake of buying something for the kid with the dogs, the Paw Patrol. God awful Paw Patrol. Such a dumb concept. Dogs as police officers and firemen. But I made the mistake of taking her with me to the CVS the other day, and I was going to buy her a toy, and the toy selection is not very good. So I bought this thing, a cheap fire truck with a dog named Marshall. Apparently she knows all their names, and it's on. Last thing I wanted her to do is get into other kinds of toys, because that just means that all the old toys that are laying all over the place that I step on constantly are going to be played with less. I think she's got enough toys to last through puberty, you ask me. Anyway, you didn't tune in to hear about that. You tuned in to hear about the news and the controversies and non-troversies and outrages and faux outrages that we have in spades today. We'll get to all of it. Chuck Schumer's mad over Roger Stone. Everybody's mad over Roger Stone. Donald Trump slams the media in a hilarious answer about what he learned from impeachment. Ayanna Pressley, a member of the Gang of Four, the squad. Women are oppressed. You didn't know that, ladies. You are horribly, horribly, horribly oppressed. And like I said, there's gender insanity and racial insanity. We're going to try and hit as much of it as possible. But first, as we always do, we got to give a hat tip to our fine sponsor, AncientLifeOil.com. That's where you get the finest organic CBD oil available to humankind. And I'm pulling mine out of the box right now. I have mine. I store it in the box and then in a drawer so the kids don't get to it. But I get to it. I get to it every day. I got the 250 milligram CBD oil, chocolate mint flavored from AncientLifeOil.com. It's not loaded up with THC. You're not going to get high off of it if you're afraid of a corporate drug test or anything like that. It's not that. It takes your pain away a little bit. It makes it sound like a drug. It really is an amazing thing. I have eye strain. My job requires me to look at computer screens. I've got an open iPhone, a laptop, a desktop, and an iPad all right in front of me right now. Well, at the end of the day, your eyes go like, all right, enough of this crap, close. And they hurt. You get a low-grade headache right in front. A few drops of this under the tongue, boom, gone. Knee pain, joint pain, aches, shoulders, little things that annoy you. It mellows you out. It takes off the edge. It's not going to get you high. That's not the kind of thing that it does. But it does make you feel better. And it's not the only thing they have at AncientLifeOil.com. Go to AncientLifeOil.com. Check them out. I appreciate the emails you guys send and letting me know, oh, hey, I patronize this sponsor or that sponsor. I get those emails regularly. They advertise on this show because of you guys, not because of me. Nobody's going, I really like the way that guy yammers about his kid's play date. I want to advertise on his podcast. No, it's you guys. They say, I'll give it a shot. You guys patronize their businesses, and they say, I like that. So thank you for that. Douglas sent me an email yesterday. He's getting the life change tea. And all you got to do at promo at checkout at AncientLifeOil.com is enter promo code Derek, and you get great discounts on your entire order. Check it out. Search around. Talk to your friends and family. See what they say about CBD oil. You'll hear a whole bunch of, oh, it's crackpot, it's snake oil, it's garbage. And then you'll talk to somebody who actually uses it. And they will say, oh my God, I didn't believe it until I tried it, but I'm a believer now. And when you hear that and you say, wait a second, this is at least worth a chance, go to AncientLifeOil.com. Because if you're going to try something, you should try the best. AncientLifeOil.com, promo code Derek, click the apply button, boom, bang, bing, and all that sort of stuff. Okay, where to start? Where to start? Roger Stone. Let's start with Roger Stone. Roger Stone, the left, really the vindictive left, desperately wants to put this man in prison for the rest of his natural life. He's 60, 67, 68 years old, somewhere in there. And four former Mueller prosecutors, Team Mueller guys, they recommended a sentence of 7 to 9 years. For what? For misleading Congress, for lying to Congress, for obstruction of Congress, or obstruction of justice, I mean. There are murderers who are doing less time than this. I think I mentioned this on the show yesterday. The guy out in Arizona, 23 years old, shot and killed a 20-year-old, shot and wounded three other people, and he cut a plea deal for manslaughter and was sentenced yesterday to 6 years in 6 years in prison. Killed a guy, and they pleaded it down to manslaughter. Like, oh geez, manslaughter. Like, he didn't mean to do it. Just cleaning the gun and it went off four times, having to kill one person and hit three other people. It's just one of those fluky things. But to the left, that's nothing. It doesn't even rate a mention. But Roger Stone, because he's a Republican, because he is a reviled human being for engaging in wrongthink, he must be destroyed and sent away for what will likely be the rest of his natural life. You want to talk about evil people. This is what evil people do. All the talk and whining that the left is doing, and I know I mentioned this yesterday, so I'm not going to go much into rehash, but I'm setting it up. For all the whining and pissing and moaning that these people do about Donald Trump, they are engaging in the things that they warn against. I have two examples. One from Morning Joe, where Joe Scarborough and his current wife, Mika, she's really turned into his Jerome, to his Morris Day. It's just, she just sits there. She's his hype man. Like, yeah, that's right. She's his amen corner. I got to get me one of those, although it would be annoying as hell. They were rambling about how Donald Trump, if he had his druthers, that's a word that isn't used often enough, and not a word I didn't hear and know until I moved to Washington. If they had his way, they say that Donald Trump would love to throw his political enemies, particularly journalists, into the clink, into prison. Of course, it was Barack Obama who spied on and harassed journalists. Donald Trump tweeted mean things. One has elicited a nonstop flow of outrage and protests about how the First Amendment itself is under threat. And holy Frank Tanana, we're all going to die. And the other one has been put on a pedestal firmly out of reach of everybody, but not quite out of their grasp. They can't stop reaching, can't stop trying. Guess which one is which? Let's start off, though, with Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer, down on the floor of the Senate, when the president tweeted that 7 to 9 years for Roger Stone for a nonviolent first offense is absurd and abuse, the Justice Department was already moving to change that recommendation to somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 to 3 years, which for my money is still outrageous. But whatever. I'm not in the Justice Department. I'm not an attorney. And if Roger Stone broke the law, which a jury says, then he should be punished. Although I will point out that one of the jurors on his trial ran for Congress as a Democrat, had been posting pro-Trump Russia collusion stories, the delusion collusion, throughout, and just has a long history of absolute left-wing, batshit crazy mentality social media posts. How that person ended up on a jury is a testament to how effed up our jury system is in this country and how nearly impossible it is for anybody, not a liberal in good standing, to get a fair trial in the nation's capital. Beside the point, though, when the president weighed in on Roger Stone's proposed sentencing, every set of panties worn by Democrats, and they are plentiful and flower pattern mostly, was sent into a bunch and right up the crack of every single liberal in Washington, D.C. Not because they believe this garbage. They don't. Very little of what any politician says publicly do they actually believe. That's what makes Donald Trump an anomaly. He believes the stuff that he says, and he says the stuff that he believes, whereas everybody else, or most everybody else, is very cautious about their word choice, very deliberate about their word choice, so as to not necessarily not offend, but to offend the least. They all want, of course, people to love them. And you shouldn't. You shouldn't love politicians. You should just like them and appreciate them and support them if you agree with them, and oppose even the same politicians when you don't. That's neither here nor there. Chuck Schumer, being the leader of the Democrats and a man desperate for media attention, scrambled down to the floor of the Senate yesterday to denounce the president and oppose a hypothetical situation, shall we say. It is, he poses it as a hypothetical situation, but as I was listening to this, I couldn't help but notice that it was nearly a realistic situation. The only situation that actually happened. The only difference is Chuck Schumer didn't care about that situation, not a whit, not even to this day, even though we now know all the abuses that took place. And I'm, of course, talking about the spying by the Obama administration at the behest of the Hillary Clinton campaign on the Trump campaign. Listen to what Chuck Schumer spells out here. And he's trying to get liberals worked up, and they'll get worked up because they don't actually give a damn about the rule of law or the law being applied equally. They care about ruining Republicans. Listen to Chuck Schumer lay out his hypothetical here and tell me if it doesn't sound like what happened with the Russia hoax.
Does anyone think it's out of the question that President Trump might order the FBI to investigate Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, or anyone else? Without any evidence to support such an arbitrary violation of individual rights? Oh, I know, some far-right conspiratorial writer who has no credibility and who just makes things up, writes it, Fox News puts it on, Sean Hannity or someone talks about it, and then the president says, investigate. That is third world behavior, not American behavior. That kind of behavior defiles that great flag that is standing above us. This is not ordinary stuff. I've never seen it before with any president, Democrat, Republican, liberal, or conservative.
Well, Chuck Schumer's pearl status is completely clutched. His panty status is wadded and crammed sideways into where the good Lord split him. Can you imagine saying that? Knowing what we know now about the origins of the Russia hoax and the Mueller investigations, can you imagine any president? I can imagine this president ordering investigations into this, that, and the other thing. That would be an outrage. It's a threat to the flag that's hanging over there. Yeah? Then what was the Russia hoax? What was the Obama administration literally doing, what you're sitting there opining about as a hypothetical? What would that be? What would that constitute? Imagine, if you will, Chuck, if you want to take this little theoretical exercise of yours a little bit further, that the intelligence community lied in order to spy on an American citizen to investigate a political opponent. What would you think of that, Chucky? You probably wouldn't think much of that. You probably wouldn't be bothered by that at all because the target has an R after their name, not a D, and that target in particular is Donald Trump, whom you hate. So spare me your righteous indignation, you worthless pile of human garbage. We saw what happened. The difference is, Chuck, it actually happened to an American citizen, to several American citizens, all associated with the Trump campaign, and you said nothing. To this day, you still say nothing. To this day, your Democratic colleagues still say nothing. When asked about it, when forced to respond about it, they parrot a talking point about how there was no political bias found, and so on and so forth. Oh yes, no political bias, just that they all committed major felonies, lying to the secret FISA courts about Carter Page in order to get a warrant to tap his phones, to read his emails, to follow him, all that sort of stuff. The man was working for the CIA, with the CIA, to spy on Russians. And the question was, or the intelligence community said, wonder why FISA court. We got to figure out why this guy's meeting with Russians. We don't know why he's meeting with Russians. We think he could be a Russian agent, when they knew full well and had been told by the CIA that he was, in fact, an agent for the United States. It is disgusting. You want to talk about a threat to the flag? Maybe you should look over at your little pals there to your left who routinely burn it. Those people who regularly walk on it. Those people are a literal threat to the flag because they did the things you're opining about possibly having happened. You total and complete fraud, you. But Chucky Schumer is not alone in this. No, because when one person on the left has a thought, every person on the left has that thought because they are a drone. They are a mindless drone army. They are no different than fire ants. They just spread out and bring destruction wherever they go, and they're very difficult to get rid of. On Morning Joe, MSNBC's morning show. There is Joe and his current wife, Mika. They're sitting in the Florida studios where they live. It's in their house. They pretend that they're in New York, but they're actually out of Florida because they want to avoid paying New York taxes, both city and state, because they're raging hypocrites. And Joe has some thoughts. Now, Mika, just you have to imagine, you'll hear her sort of mumble an amen or a yeah every once in a while here. She really is the hype man to Joe Scarborough. No real original thoughts on her own, because every time she attempts one, she makes a fool of herself. She is sitting there. You have to envision her, and I recommend you find this video. It's on my Twitter feed somewhere. If you scroll back and find it on my Twitter feed, it is from yesterday morning-ish. So if you want to see her look, I recommend it. She is staring directly at the camera with her bleach blonde hair and her vacant stare. It really takes skill to look that devoid of thought. Her inner monologue seems like it's duh. While she's listening to Joe read this thing that he likely wrote the night before while in bed, thinking, I've got some brilliant thoughts that the world must hear. Well, let's listen to this moron make the case that Donald Trump is well on his way to being a tyrant.
Started saying this, that Donald Trump has to be shown that there are boundaries. We said this to Paul Ryan in the summer of 2016 when he endorsed Donald Trump and got nothing in return for it. Republicans from that point forward have never held him accountable, and that's why we our constitutional republic literally, and the institutions in it literally are being challenged every single day by this would-be dictator. I mean, basically, that sounds tough, doesn't it? You tell
That's
me.
That's the word I
you
was
tell
going
me,
to use.
Does Donald Trump, would Donald Trump not do whatever he could do if he could get away with it? Seriously, if he could arrest every journalist he didn't like, if he could arrest us tomorrow, let me ask you a question. Do you think he would arrest us tomorrow? Do you think he would arrest the editor of the New York Times, the editor of the Washington Post, Jeff Bezos? Do you think he'd arrest them tomorrow and throw them in jail to silence them?
He felt like it.
Do you think they could? Because if you say he wouldn't, you're just lying to yourself. He will get away with whatever he can get away with. And he did this yesterday. Something extraordinary that hasn't been done in our lifetime. He did it because you Republican senators gave him a blank check.
First off, Joe, if President Trump decided to go full dictator and arrest journalists, you and your current receptacle would not be arrested. You'd be fine. You're nothing close to what resembles any form of journalist. You're a couple of arrogant douchebags who get up early in the morning and make $4 million apiece for whining on TV about the president for 2 hours, which again kind of undercuts the concept that Donald Trump is becoming a tyrant, or that Donald Trump is a dictator now. Because all these people declaring him to be a dictator are roaming the streets free, collecting their multi-million dollar contracts for no discernible skills or talent whatsoever. You've got to admire that. The people's willingness to ignore reality and just plow straight ahead with whatever they've decided to substitute with it. You know, move over, Bacon. There's something meatier. Here's sizzling. Hey, you know, I can't believe it's not oppression. It's the new bread spread from Kraft. But where is it that Donald Trump has become this horrible tyrant? If President Trump, by the way, Joe and Mika, while they're sitting there glassy-eyed, probably a little wasted from the night before's ecstasy hit, I'm not implying that they took ecstasy. I just suspect it. While they're sitting there whining about this, I will remind you that it was the previous administration that spied on journalists, that threatened to imprison journalists, that did all they could. James Risen, 20 Associated Press reporters. James Risen was named an unindicted co-conspirator and a flight risk by the Obama Justice Department because he wouldn't give up a source. They spied on him and they spied on his parents, thinking that somehow they might have information. Now, where were Joe and Mika on that? They're more upset by Trump tweets that have nothing to do with the press, or really don't have anything to do with the press at all, than they are actual silencing, threatening, spying on the press. Literal things that happened, they're more upset by the theoretical. Why? Because they're political hacks. They're dishonest people. They're dishonest human beings. They are as faithful to the truth as they were to their previous spouses, shall we say. Just spitballing here, perhaps an appropriate analogy. But these people are wildly upset that President Trump has an opinion on Roger Stone's sentencing recommendation. That is a major threat to our democracy. And idiot Eric Swalwell's on MSNBC saying this might lead to impeachment. These people are tone deaf and blind. But again, they had no problem with the Obama administration doing anything close to this or much worse than this, because they actually did it. Joe and Mika didn't mind Barack Obama weighing in on Ferguson, weighing in on the Cambridge situation with his buddy Skip Gates, when he said, well, it's clear that the police acted stupidly. When he admitted he didn't know anything about the situation, had to apologize and hold the beer summit, he weighed in on Trayvon. One thing's clear, is if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. No, Trayvon didn't look that stupid. Trayvon's ears weren't hanging off the side of his head, and he didn't really have the aura of entitlement hanging over him the way that you do, Barack. There wasn't a controversy and legal controversy in the country that Barack Obama didn't weigh in on while it was ongoing. Not afterwards, go ahead. But while it was going on, there wasn't a jury pool or potential jury pool that Barack Obama didn't pee into and pollute. And it was crickets from the media or cheers from the media. Oh, my goodness. That Barack Obama, he's so wildly progressive. Of course, when it came to the actual law and the facts of the matter and the facts of the case, well, it was nothing. Those didn't fall on the side of the left. The Justice Department investigated George Zimmerman. They found nothing down the Trayvon Martin case. They invested Darren Wilson, the police officer in Ferguson, Missouri. They found that his case, his story held up, and the Trayvon or the Mike Brown witnesses didn't hold up. No one was charged there, and you know they desperately wanted to. No one had a problem with any of that stuff. The local officials look into it, they find nothing wrong, and in swoops the Justice Department saying, we must investigate the possibility of civil rights being violated. I'm Eric Holder. Everybody get out of my way. I'm here to do justice. And try as they might, and believe me, they tried, and they stretched the law in any way they possibly could get it to try to get to something they could charge in the name of social justice, and they found nothing. They found zip. They lost. There was no outrage from the left about the concept of, you know, double jeopardy or abuse of power or the Obama administration inserting itself into places where it doesn't belong. No, the concept of inserting itself into places it doesn't belong doesn't exist on the left except in Joe and Mika's bedroom. They were all silent. They didn't care. They couldn't give a damn. Is God King doing it? He's the Lord of Government. He can do whatever he wants, and whatever he does is, of course, no wrong, because he can do no wrong. But Donald Trump, Orange Man Bad, tweets out the ridiculousness of a first-time offender in a nonviolent situation being recommended to serve 7 to 9 years while he's 67 years old. Why, that's an outrage. How dare the president have an opinion on such things? These people are hypocrites. These people are frauds. These people are fascists. These people maybe feigned a little bit of outrage when Barack Obama pardoned or granted clemency to Bradley Manning, a literal traitor who'd only served 7 years of a 35-year sentence. Remember that? Yeah, Brad, and then he went and tucked it up his own butt and became Chelsea. But I'm going to show him as much respect as he showed the national security secrets with which he was entrusted, and keep calling him Brad. That's the name he was convicted under. That should be the name that he is sent to hell under, as far as I'm concerned. But when Brad was let out of prison, Brad never did a mea culpa. Brad never said, I'm sorry. Brad never said, I was wrong and I regret what I did and the lives I put at risk and the secrets that I betrayed. No, Brad never said that. To this day, Brad never said that. Or Chelsea never said that. Still, the president let him out of prison. Why? Because Brad became Chelsea, and Brad began to tuck his package up in his crack and say, no, 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 I'm a girl. I swear I'm a girl. And that was enough. He achieved the magical level of victimhood status that on the left unlocks everything and absolves all guilt. Oh, well, the only reason he committed espionage is because she was confused. What, about the choice between being a traitor and not being a traitor? It's a pretty easy choice to make. But somehow, Brad couldn't make it because he was confused and had all sorts of gender issues. Well, given how crazy Brad has gotten since he's gotten out of prison, thanks to Barack Obama, you think maybe the dude was mentally unstable. You could make a better case that he was crazy than he was confused, because he did what he did with deliberance and clarity. He wanted to harm this country, and he did harm this country. And he should have served out all of his sentence, or until the military prison system decided to throw his ass out. But instead, no, Barack Obama offered him clemency. Curious note, though, Barack Obama offered clemency something like 3 to 6 months after the end of the Obama administration. It still couldn't be overturned, but it wasn't immediate. Now, why wasn't it immediate? That seems weird. If you're going to let somebody who is unrepentant out of prison, what does it matter when you do it? Well, it's because good old Brad was getting the nip tuck, the fold up on the inside out, shebang, shebang, while in prison, meaning on our dime. And if Brad had been released before everything was put back together, the hot dog was turned into a bun, well, then Brad would have to foot the bill for that. So in addition to getting out of prison early, Brad got a taxpayer-subsidized hot dog insider-out-ectomy. Isn't that nice? Never let it be said that Barack Obama isn't compassionate to this nation's enemies. So forgive me, Joe and Mika, if I don't immediately fall down in the fetal position, concerned that we're drifting towards a dictatorship because the president has opinions on things. I was more concerned about this reality and the prospect of it becoming a dictatorship when the president not only said things, but he whipped out his magic pen and phone and created laws out of whole cloth while ordering the ignoring of other laws. Like them or not, whatever you thought of those laws, they were laws on the book. And the man was hired to enforce them. He chose not to, but because he happened to be a Democrat and because he happened to be a black guy who seemed super cool and probably winked at you from across a room once or twice while you guys were hanging out at cocktail parties, his discretions against the Constitution don't matter. All that matters is Donald Trump tweeted. I don't know how you live such a miserable existence. I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't. Life wouldn't be worth living if that were my existence. Thank God it's not. But whatever you do to get you through the day, it seems to not fully wear off by the time morning comes. Might I suggest you cut back on the dosage, especially you, Mika. You shouldn't look like you just stepped out of a freshly chlorinated swimming pool. Your eyes shouldn't be that glassy, except on your third glass of a martini. Yet that's how you wake up. Lord knows how you go to bed. And I sure as hell can't figure out how you go to sleep once you get there. While we're on the subject of gender dysphoria and delusions of bastardized science, there are two stories out of the UK that I found very interesting. The Labour Party, which suffered another humiliating loss. They have been on the outs for quite some time over in the UK, mostly because they're crazy and because they nominate as their leader somebody like Jeremy Corbyn, who is a rabid anti-Semite lunatic left-wing nutjob terrorist sympathizer. Essentially, Bernie Sanders in better shape with slightly better hair. Well, the BBC reports that the Labour Party is now looking at a call. They want to purify their own party. I told you the left loves purges. They love to turn their arsenal on themselves because, you know, what's a good party without a purge every once in a while? Stalin did it. Saddam Hussein did it, Hitler did it, Mao did it, all these left-wing totalitarians happily went on purges. You're not pure enough, you're getting too popular. Whatever the guise under which it was done, and it was done repeatedly. Well, the UK isn't exactly pulling out the long knives, at least not yet, but it's only a matter of time. That's where progressivism always ends up. The BBC story reads as follows, quote, it is part of a 12-point plan by the Labour campaign for trans rights. They have a plan for trans, like, really, where are trans people's rights being trampled? The pledge has now been signed by leadership contender Lisa Nandy, too, but critics say it could lead to a witch hunt of party members. Of course it will. That's what happens. Impure, they'll stand up and point at each other from across the room, and somebody will be hauled away, never to be heard from again. It comes amid a highly charged debate on gender identity, including potential reforms to the Gender Recognition Act. Now, the left loves continually debating things that most normal human beings find completely irrelevant in the grand scheme of things. The left will obsess on them. They will latch onto them like a leech on Will Wheaton's crotch in Stand By Me. The recently formed Labour Campaign for Trans Rights says its 12 pledges will help rid the party of transphobia. I'm sure that transphobia is rampant everywhere. Of course, transphobia, much like homophobia and racism, is been redefined as anything that doesn't fully embrace the leftist agenda. Period. End of story. The pledges include accepting that there, quote, is no material conflict between trans rights and women's rights. What if it's a man? Never mind. I can't even figure this out. And supporting the expulsion of labor members who express bigoted transphobic views. Yes, the purge right there. You are either all in on the Tuck rule or you are all out. The group states that trans women are women and trans men are men. Okay, well, then I guess no trans man should ever have a state-sponsored, since they have a socialized medicine system over there, a state-sponsored pap smear at all, or any sort of gynecological exam. Why would you need a gynecological exam on a man? That's absurd. They've got outies. not innies. Of course, when the cervical cancer death rate or the ovarian cancer death rate over there skyrockets, maybe they'll have different opinions on it, and they'll go to say that trans men are men, except in the gynecologist's office, where they revert back to women who need to have their vaginas screened for cancer or something like that. They also back the fight against what the group alleges are transphobic organizations, naming two in particular, Women's Place UK and the LGB Alliance. Now, you see, the LGB, that's like we have over here, except they're without the T. They're fighting over there. And the thought that the gay and transgender and whatever sort of screwed up bad childhood organizations were all simpatico over there, but they're not. And the feminists aren't on board either, because women are getting screwed. And to put a fine point on that, this also comes to us out of the UK. A group of girls are... girls in schools over there are getting... How's a good way to put this? I mean, I guess I swore a lot in this show, so it doesn't really matter. Girls are getting urinary tract infections at an accelerated rate in the UK and skipping school more and more. Now, why is that? It's because they're wildly uncomfortable with the idea of using gender-neutral bathrooms. It turns out that teenage girls just kind of want to be left alone when they go to the bathroom. They don't want an audience. They don't want somebody confused trying to figure out where God went wrong putting them together. They just want to go into a restroom and do their business. So instead of that, since they're no longer allowed to do that in the UK, a lot of them are holding it in all day or refusing to drink all day so that they don't have to pee at all while at school, because they're terrified of the politically correct BS that their government is cramming down their throats and up other parts of their anatomy. The trans men are men and trans women are women. Line of garbage has real world consequences. Who could have thought of that? Who would have ever imagined such a thing? Of course, anybody with a third grade or higher education would have thought of that. And the leftists thought of it too. There's a difference, however. The leftists just don't care. They have their agenda, and it is agenda uber alles. So if a few girls have to get a UTI, maybe get toxic shock syndrome, maybe have to miss a few days of school, or even die, so what? It's for the greater good, after all, and the greater good must always be served. This is how screwed up these people are. This is how evil these people are. They're harming actual girls so they can continue to support people playing make-believe in thinking that their chromosomes are different than they actually are. Well, they're starting to fight back. There's rumblings of lawsuits, and I wouldn't be surprised if there were some proposals to change these things. Highly unlikely anything will be enacted. It's the left really has its claws in over the UK. Even the so-called conservative Tory party is pretty well liberal, especially over here. They'd easily be Democrats. There's no concept of individual rights. There's no concept of limited government. It is sadly what, under at least Paul Ryan, the Republican Party was becoming. We can manage government programs better. Oh, you have Obamacare? Well, we have our own Obamacare. Oh, you have a plan for this or a plan for that? We have our own version of that. It's constantly seeding the concept that the government should be involved in this crap and then offering a sort of light, L-I-T-E version of what the left is offering. And why the hell would anybody vote for the light version? If you believe the concept and both sides believe the concept, why not go full bore? And by the way, this is kind of spreading over to the United States. ABC News has this story out of Hartford, Connecticut. The families of three female high school runners filed a federal lawsuit Wednesday seeking to block transgender athletes in Connecticut from participating in girls' sports. Huh. Well, why? Men and women are exactly the same, and if you identify as a woman, you should be able to compete with women, right? Except for the fact that men have more bone density and higher muscle mass and so on and so forth, stronger, faster, on average, all of those things. It's a little side effect of science that doesn't go away when you force everybody to believe that science doesn't exist or science is different than what it really is. Selena Soleil, a senior at Glastonbury High School, Chelsea Mitchell, a senior at Canton High School, and Alana Smith, a sophomore at Danbury High School, are represented by the conservative nonprofit organization Alliance Defending Freedom. They argue that allowing athletes with male anatomy to compete has deprived them of track titles and scholarship opportunities. You know, the delusional are celebrated while the real women suffer. Meanwhile, the liberals whine about how oppressed women are by the patriarchy. No, it's oppressed by the left. And it's not my fault. Look, man, men make stronger women than women do. That's just science. Story continues, quote, "Mentally and physically, we know the outcome before the race even starts," said Smith, who is the daughter of former Major League pitcher Lee Smith, "that biological unfairness doesn't go away because of what someone believes about gender identity. All girls deserve the chance to compete on a level playing field," end quote. Abso-freaking-lutely. The lawsuit was filed against the Connecticut Association of Schools, Connecticut Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, and the boards of education in Bloomfield, Cromwell, Glastonbury, Canton, and Danbury. Quote, "Forcing girls to be spectators in their own sports is completely at odds with Title IX, the federal law designed to create equal opportunity for women in education and athletes," attorney Christina Holcomb said. "Connecticut's policy violates that law and reverses nearly 50 years of advances for women." You go, girl. I don't say that often. I rarely say it unironically, but you go, girl. I like this. I like this a lot. Fighting back, somebody's got to stand up and say, this is garbage, and this has to end. The Connecticut Association of Schools / Connecticut Intercollegiate Athletic Conference says its policy follows a state anti-discrimination law that says students must be treated in school by the gender with which they identify, and the group believes the policy is, quote, appropriate under both state and federal law. Don't you love that? This is going to be a fun one. This is going to be a groundbreaking court case. And how sad is it that in the year 2020, we're looking at a situation where eventually, probably not this year, but in the next couple of years, the Supreme Court will have to weigh in on what is and isn't a woman, what is and isn't a man. They're going to have to rule on basic biology. That is the easiest thing to figure out of all the things human beings have figured out. Yeah, people can think all sorts of things that are screwed up and wrong in their heads, but forcing the rest of the world to pretend that the world inside their head is reality, I hope to God the Supreme Court will look at that and say, absolutely not. That is not right. That is not tolerant. If only, if President Trump gets a second term, if President Trump wins in November, you can almost guarantee that that will be the decision. So hopefully Darth Vader Ginsburg will retire and call it a day long before that case ever comes up there. Speaking of Darth Vader Ginsburg and the oppression of women, Ayanna Pressley, remember Ayanna Pressley, the member of the squad, she is supporting a bill, a resolution, actually, which doesn't really have any force of law behind it. Congress sure finds a lot of time to piss away time and money and effort on really symbolic, stupid things that don't amount to anything. But the Democrats love that kind of stuff. It's where they live. It's symbolism over substance. The Democrats are today, I believe, introducing a resolution that calls for the changing of the date in the Equal Rights Amendment, which was introduced back in the 70s. There was, as with all constitutional amendments, a certain time window put into that passage of the constitutional amendment. It says you got 10 years to get this ratified by 3/4 of the states, or you that means that it's rejected. They got their time. They got an extension. They didn't make their deadline. They didn't reach 38 states. Eventually, they did reach 38 states. They reached their 38th state this year. I think it was either late last year or early this year, with the Democrats in Virginia, when not trying to strip people of their Second Amendment rights or get on the bandwagon of abolishing the Electoral College, thereby disenfranchising their voters potentially, they took time out to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment, bringing the total number of states who had passed ratification to 38, the required number to make it a part of the Constitution. The only problem was that the amendment had expired a very long time ago. Now, Democrats are trying to change that retroactively, or they're trying to also sue, saying it doesn't matter. Last night at Georgetown Law School, Darth Vader Ginsburg made an appearance. If you felt a strange disturbance in the force, this is why. And while at Georgetown Law, she was asked about the Equal Rights Amendment and how she wanted it to go. Now, I should say that in addition to Virginia becoming the 38th state to ratify it, four other states that had previously ratified it had then come back and de-ratified it. They voted again and repealed their ratification. So realistically, the number isn't 38, which they would need if there were no deadline. The number is 34. They still need four more states, but they want to ignore the states that pulled their ratification and ignore the deadline so they can get the several states that ratified it after the fact, all of which is garbage. And you'd expect a liberal justice to go, dates, schmates, laws, schmaws, I want this, let's go with it. But surprisingly, and much to the chagrin of the those in attendance, Darth Vader Ginsburg came out and said, no, it matters. You don't get to, if you want to count Virginia, you got to count the four that pulled it back. She suggests that she supports, well, she didn't suggest, she says she supports the idea of, if you want an equal rights amendment, which she does, you gotta start over from scratch.
Well, I would like to see a new beginning. I'd like it to start over. There's too much controversy about latecomers, Virginia, long after the deadline passed. Plus, a number of states have withdrawn their ratification. So if you count a latecomer on the plus side, how can you disregard states that said, we've changed our minds?
A moment of lucidity in her very old age. Darth Vader Ginsburg made some sense there. It's absolutely true. You don't get to go and just take the changes one way. You got to acknowledge them both ways. And if you do them both ways, it's a problem. But legally, this probably won't stand up. If you want this, and Darth Vader Ginsburg wants this, you got to start over from scratch. This has not deterred Democrats because, like I said, today they are, I believe it's today, they are expected to vote on language retroactively changing the expiration date on it, trying to. It's a resolution, like I said, it's worthless. And as such, in favor of that date change, the thwarting of the actual language of the law and changing the law retroactively, Ayanna Pressley took to the floor of the House of Representatives. And again, I want you, these are people, remember, who really truly believe that we are just the Handmaid's Tale, that this country is just violently oppressive to women. But no, that's so stupid. But she spews this garbage on the House floor. So ladies listening out there, if you don't already have high demands for your Valentine's gift or Valentine's whatever, it's time to raise the bar, because the man, literally the man, has been oppressing you this whole time, and you probably didn't. That's how ubiquitous the oppression is, and how complete and absolute the oppression is, that you don't even realize how oppressed you are. Listen to Ayanna Pressley essentially say that.
The year is now 2020, and here we women are, still in so many ways, not fully free, still shackled. Today, I rise to affirm the humanity and the dignity of all women. I rise in strong, unapologetic, righteous support of H.J. Res 79, which will strike the arbitrary deadline for ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment, an amendment that should already be the law of the land.
Ladies, did you know you had it so bad? Did you know you were so wildly oppressed? Or are we men just that good at it that you didn't even realize it until it was too late? You know, here are your shackles. Now kick off them shoes, get yourself pregnant, and skedaddle back to the kitchen and make me a chicken pot pie. These people are nuts. These people are nuts, but these adults don't spring up at, age 25, crazy out of nowhere. They come from somewhere, and the University of Virginia might be one of those places. Actually, universities are where most of these people come from with their crazy. They recently opened a new multicultural student center. Oh, yes, the multicultural student center. Celebrate diversity. Well, turns out that a fat black student, this woman, decided that there was just too many white people in there. Can you believe this? Somebody captured this on their cell phone video, where this large woman decides to tell everybody who is white that the off-white people there don't want them there, and they need to, if they're going to stick around, they need to recognize that they've got to learn their place and stay out of the way of the people of... I should stop calling it people of color and change it to victims of color. They're all just victims, according to the left, that white people have invaded. It's only apparently been open a couple of days, and she's just not happy with the fact that white people are going to a public building on a public university.
Public service announcement. Excuse me. If y'all didn't know, this is the MSC, and frankly, there's just too many white people in here, and this is a space for people of color. So just be really cognizant of the space that you're taking up, because it does make some of us POCs uncomfortable when we see too many white people in here. It's only been open for 4 days, and frankly, there's the whole university for a lot of y'all to be at, and there's very few spaces for us. So keep that in mind. Thank you.
This bitch should be expelled. She should be expelled immediately. This is, you know what? We need to have a safe space for POCs, people of color. And okay. And what is she going to say next? And we need separate bathrooms for people of color. And we need separate water fountains for people of color. And perhaps we should have separate sections of public transportation for people of color. There's an entire civil rights movement fought by people of every flavor of human being to end this shit, you dumb piece of trash. And now you're sitting there saying, no, 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 we want this to be a space based only and solely on your skin color. Yes, Martin Luther King is rolling over in his grave and vomiting because of you. I hope you're proud of yourself. Celebrate diversity. Or else, and do it this way, or else. There's always an implied or else at the end of everything a leftist says. And like I've always said, and like I'll continue to say, the goals of the progressives have never changed, just their tactics. What she's advocating there, she's been brainwashed into believing by the liberal media industrial complex. And it is exactly the agenda of the Klan. It is the exact agenda of the Democrat Klan of the 1920s through the 1960s. And then they said, all right, we're not going to be able to make this work anymore. And they came up with a new way of getting the exact same thing. Segregation now, segregation forever. They said it out in public. They weren't kidding. Anyway, that is all the time we have. Don't send your kids to these schools. Make sure they do not become brainwashed, mindless drones. Make sure your kids aren't stupid like these people we listened to today. You can email me, Derek, at dailycaller.com. Send all your hate mail to that. The website, patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. Appreciate the support there. Tell a friend, rate and review on iTunes and all that good stuff. And we'll be back tomorrow with the Friday interview edition of the Daily Caller podcast. Have a great Thursday.
Frankly, there's just too many white people in here, and this is a space for people of color.